Und da fein vav mit alles. Okay, I'm passing out some pages here. Just want to finish to the Mishnah.
Two separate pages.
Oh, yeah, that's my original. So. Okay. You see where it starts off a little thin and then it gets a little wider? Uh-huh. 10 lines down. So we're about 5 lines down from there where it says, Yirmiya Amar. Or you have to start with Amar of Pinchas. Moshe Hitzkin. See it? Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone got it? Mm-hmm. Amar Pinchas. You have it there, Camille?
Yeah.
Moshe Itkin Matbe'a Shel Tfila Hokeel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanara. Do not misunderstand what this is saying. It looks like the Gemara is saying that Moshe set the version of davening that we say in Shacharis. Do you have the place name? Okay. That Moshe set the way we daven. Baruch atah Hashem al kinu kelo senu kelo hamel kelo tzchok kelo kelkov hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanara. That's not what this is, because that would imply that Moshe wrote the Shmon Esrei. He did not. The line just before this says that Anshe Knesset Gedola did.
Which is that they took it from that.
Took it from a pasuk that Moshe set up, which is a pasuk in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Ekev. It says Anochi hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanara. So that's what it means when it says this. Okay, so let's read it again. Moshe hitkin matbe'o shel tfila hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanara. Moshe spoke those words. That was the basis of these words in the tfila. Yirmiya amar. This Yirmiya is the prophet Jeremiah in Tanakh, not Rav Yirmiya, who's very common Amora in the Yerushalmi, but Yirmiya, the prophet said hakel hagadol hagibor v'lo amar hanora. Right? Now, if you look towards the bottom of this page on the Yerushalmi, and you have to look on this side, Bell, there's a comment that says Torah or Hashalem. You see it down there? Go Torah, about to almost to the bottom. There's only one little section.
Torah or Hashalem.
Uh-huh. See that? Uh-huh. Now, in the Talmud Bavli, there's something called Torah or, which tells you where to find any quoted pasuk. Right? In not just the Yerushalmi, but in some versions of new versions of the Talmud, they actually spell out the entire pasuk as it appears in the Bible. The Talmud usually just quotes two or three words of a pasuk. The bottom here, you see where it says, it's a bet. It says Oseh Chesed la'alafim. It sounds like a pasuk in the Torah. Umishalem avon avos halchek b'nehem achareihem hakel hagadol hagibor Hashem tzvakos shmo. See, he left out a word.
Yeah, Hanara. Uh-huh.
Okay, let's read on. Yirmiya Amar, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor. Get back to the Gemara. Velo Amar Hanara. He left out a word that Moshe used. Lama Amar HaGibor. So why did he use the term Gibor and leaving out the term Nora? Lazen Na'eli Kros Gibor. God, you are a Gibor. Shehu Ro'ech Churban Beiso V'Shosek. Because you see You're the destruction of your house, and you're silent. It's interesting. Amos uses a similar lashon in chapter 4 of his book, where he talks about God is the master of all time, space, and dimension. He is the creator of mountains, the creator of planets, and he's going to sit back and watch his land be destroyed. Why does it start off talking about his creating the planets and the stars and the mountains? Because in the ancient Near East, in the ancient world, when a nation is destroyed, you finish my sentence, tell me about its God.
The God is destroyed.
It means that the God is destroyed. The God is powerless to save. No God in the ancient Near East allows willingly his nation to be destroyed. Now, when I say no God, there are no gods. I'm talking about the way the nations themselves project what's happening with their God. Right? If the Moabite temple is destroyed by an Ammonite army, it's time for us to start worshipping the Ammonite god, because our god has been weakened. Maybe because we didn't feed him enough, we didn't sacrifice enough virgins for him, we didn't do all the kinds of things that they think strengthen their god.
Was he saying this as a challenge to God?
Or it's just a simple phrase?
I think so. I think it's simple. The prophets all wanted to bring home the point that as much as you guys are assimilated into knowing all about the ways of the other gods, they were good at that, right? As much as Jews are assimilated today, and I probably, if you do just canvas the average Jew here in New York and ask them the mother of Jesus and the birthday of Jesus, they'll tell you in a second. Ask them the mother of Moshe and the birth date of Moshe, and they will not know that. So the point I'm trying to make is that the Israelites knew very well all about the ways of the idolatrous nations. So the prophets wanted to make sure that they understood that what's about to happen to us is not because God has been weakened. He's just as much a gibor as he always was. Right? He's just not Nora. Nora is a God that inspires fear and awe. That, I'm sorry to say, God, you're not doing, because you're allowing a temple to be destroyed. So he left out Nora. Okay? V'lo amar ha-Nora. Lomar amar ha-Gibor. Let's read it again. L'zeno alikros Gibor. Shu ro'eh churban beiso v'shoseg. He sees his house destroyed. Can you think of a mission in Pirkei Avos right now? Ezehu Gibor?
Kovesh
Yitzro. Who is a mighty person who squelches what he God wants very much to burst out of there and just look at the Babylonian army and just knock them out.
Right, or maybe he wanted to kill the people, but he held back from doing that.
Ah, that's the famous Maimon Chazal. He let his anger wax upon inanimate objects like the temple walls, mm-hmm. which led to some degree of pity for people. Okay, so v'lama lo amar nora. So why do you leave that nora? Elo she'ein nora, elo beis hamikdash, nemar nora elokim mimikdashecha. Right. In other words, the awe inspiring nature of God is only there with the temple. Without it, there's no nora. Okay. I'm going on to the next one. Daniel amar hakel hagadol v'hanora v'lo amar hagibor. Take a look at Gimel. Actually, Dalet. See Dalet in the Torah or at the bottom there again? Torah HaShalem. It says, V'espalol Hashem Elokai V'esvado v'omro Ono Hashem Hokel HaGadol V'hanora Shomer Abris V'chesed L'Avav L'Shomer Mitzvosav. Hokel HaGadol V'hanora. And it doesn't say HaGibor. Okay? So here the Gemara twists the question and it says, Lo amar gibor, banav misurin bekolarin, hechon hi gvuraso. You see that you can be called a gibor with your temple in flames, but we will not let you be called a gibor when your children are being carried off in chains. It's amazing. I mean, but this we know from many, many, many sources. It's ingrained within our culture that human life is more valuable than the temple walls or the temple itself or the Torah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when Hashem takes his anger out on the temple, that's actually Mizmor L'Osaf. It's a reason to sing. Because the human life is a higher ideal than stone. Okay, so it manifests itself in a number of different ways, but that's what's happening here. So you can't call God a gibor with this in mind. V'lomo amar ha-nora. Lozen no'er likros nora, b'nora os she'asola n'bekiv shana'esh. Actually, there is an awesome story in Daniel when the four Jews who were taken by the king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, to stand in his presence. They had to be trained for 3 years with all the tachsisei malchus and all the protocols of being standing before the king and all the knowledge necessary, because Nebuchadnezzar wanted quickly. Any scientific data? And anyone who didn't have it on the tip of his tongue, goodbye. You're sort of like a Hashverosh, so. So it wouldn't kill them. They just say, you know, you're fired. Get out of here. So Daniel and his three friends thrived and they rose to the top, right? And then they begged the well, they had to be very healthy and look very good in front of the king. They had to stand all day. They had to be very healthy to do so. So Daniel wouldn't, and his friends, three friends, wouldn't eat the what's called the pat bag hamelech. I'm sure they were given all the fatty foods and meats and all the wines and other things like that. And Daniel said, just feed us, and what he asks to be fed, we know today to be much healthier food. Give us the whole grains, give us the, you know, the vegetables, give us the fruits, and we won't eat the meat and the wine. Just the, and the guy got very scared. He goes, you want my head? If you appear before the king and you don't look fully healthy, then he's going to kill me. So they said, why don't you give us a test? Let's have 10 days, eat that diet, and you'll see if we're any less healthy than the others. So we have these vegetarians who wanted a healthier diet. So they rose to the top. And you could imagine what happened with the Babylonians in the court, who were jealous of these Jews who rise to the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they brought about an ill report that convinced the Nebuchadnezzar, who just is, when it comes to idolatry, he sees the miracles of God, but he's still so ingrained in idolatry, he can't help himself. They made a rule that anyone caught praying to any god besides yours for 30 days shall be thrown into the furnace. And of course, Daniel's three friends were caught praying. Not Daniel, by the way, but Daniel's three friends were. And they were forced into the furnace. They were bound and thrown into the furnace. And the furnace was heated up 7 times its normal temperature, to the point that the men who threw them in died because they got too close. And the three friends of Daniel, according to the story, the ropes melted as soon as they got in, but they got up, walked through the furnace to the other side, and emerging from the other side were the three of them and Daniel. Daniel wasn't even sent in, right?
Hmm.
Some say Daniel is a fourth figure. It doesn't say Daniel Dafka, but the Gemara says it was Daniel. And that just, you know, that's Nora. That was awesome. Right? Okay, so that's what it says. Lazena elikros Nora, b'narosha solon v'kiv shanaish. The miracles performed in the furnace of fire. V'kivon shamdu anshe knesses agdola, hechziru agdola liyoshna. And when Anshe Knesset Gedolah decided to write the version of the Shemone Esrei, they brought back the original version. Not that of Yirmiyahu, not that of Daniel. But they combined it all, and they did what? Hakel HaGedolah Gibor HaNara, Hakel HaYong, HaMelech HaZadim Tovim, right? U'basav Adom Yish Bakoach Litein Kitzvah L'Dvarim Halalu. Amar Yitzchak Ben Lazer Yodim Hei Nevim She'ulu Emasai Ve'enan Machnifin Lo. And even though a human being, a man, is capable of praising God, right? In other words, the question of the Gemara is, how can man encapsulate the definition of God? Gadol, Gibor, Nora, right? Right. So, yeah. So they say, and it's really asked, it's a question. The kids for the dream alone, can man appropriately describe God? Amar Yitzchak Ben Lazar, Yodim Hayu Nevi'im, Sheleh LaLeon Amasai Ve'enon Machnifin Lo. Nevi'im Yisrael know the truth of Hashem. They need not flatter Him beyond these few words. Okay? To that I made these copies here. Just let's read some of these quickly. Let's start with the Gemara Brachas Daf Lamed Gimel at the bottom of the page, which says Rambam Hilchos Tefillah at the top. Hahu Denochis Kamei Rabbi Chanina. You see it? Hahu Denochis Kamei Rabbi Chanina. It was someone who was standing before Rabbi Chanina, and he was davening for the Amud, right? And he was saying Hakel Hagadol Hagibor VaNarav VaAdir VaHizuz VaYirui VaChazak VaHamitz VaVaday VaNichpad. Himtin lo ad desayim. He waits till he finished his chazor shatz. Kisiyim amalei siyamtinu lekulei shivchay demarach. You finished praising your God. Amalei kulei hai. What do you have to praise Him? You gave Him 20 different descriptions. Is that enough? Anan hani tlas darminan ilav darminan Moshe Rabbeinu baraisa. Va'asu anshe kneses gedola b'teknina b'tfila lo havina yicholin lemeimar lehu. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how we understand it. The Yerushalmi wasn't as clear as this. But if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was said these words in the Torah, and then Anshe Knesses Gedola were mesakein it in the Tefillah, the reason why it was confusing in the Yerushalmi is because it said Moshe Hitkin Matbea Shel Tefillah. It sounds like Moshe made the Shemoneh Esrei. Not so. It's very clear here that Moshe spoke the words that appear in the Torah, and Anshe Knesses Gedola put it into the Tefillah. Okay.
Yeah, where is this from?
This is Brachas Daf Lamed, you Bavli Brachas.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So then it says afterwards, Moshe lemelech basar v'dam shiulo elef alfeim dinrei d'zahav. So it's like a king who has millions of talents of gold, or dinreim of gold. V'yumakalsin osu b'shal kesef, v'alugnai hulo. They say, oh, this man has a lot of silver. What's the matter with you? I have gold. What are you telling me? I have silver. In other words, the point he's making is that we don't have the capacity to fully define God. So let's just use some simplistic terms and end it with that. Okay. This point, I think, is mashma from the Rambam itself. It says, take a look at Halach Zayin. Vishoma b'tachanunim. You know, this is too much of a tangent. This is a Mishnah in Brachas also, but we learned earlier, or a Mishnah at the end of Megillah. It says, V'chein lo yarbeh v'kinuyim. See, towards the end of this, there's a little hey, the third line, towards the end of the line.
There's V'chein, the top?
Yeah, V'chein lo, the end of the line. Go, keep going. V'chein lo, got it?
Uh-huh.
V'chein lo yarbeh v'kinuyim shel shem. Don't keep speaking definitions of God in your davening. V'yomar ha'kiel ha'gadol ha'gibor v'anarav ha'chazak v'amitz v'ayizuz. Shein koch ba'adam la'hagia b'sof shvachov. Man does not have the koach to reach the end of God's shevach. Elo mer masha omar Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. Just say what Moshe said. Here the Rambam makes it very clear. Doesn't say emor masha Moshe hitkin. Mer masha Moshe omar in Shemoneh Esrei. I don't have to convince you any further. However, there is one night of the year where we're just so close to God and so much into the fact that like we're standing at the Kriyas Yamsuf being saved by God. So on that night we can say, Adir Hu, Baruch Hu, Gadol Hu, Dagol Hu, Yizu, Yimlamud Hu, so we just go on and on. Yizuzu. In fact, all these words are mostly coming from that prayer. So all right, one night of the year we can feel a little closer that we can, you know, capture that some of that magic of defining God. Plus, it's, you know, it goes in alphabetical order, so, you know, I'm just gonna use the whole alphabet. Alright? And then the other side is an interesting Tosfos. There is one place in the davening where we do this. Can you think of some place? It's one thing to say in Hallel, Shiru Shvacha, Hallel Vizimra, like in Yishtabach. I'm not describing God with that. I'm describing what I'm doing because I am praising God. You know what I'm saying at the end of Sukkot Zimra? But there is another place in the davening. We say, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Not for ready.
Oh, there's a click there. Right. Where's it? 15?
15 of them, yeah. It's always, the number is always 15 in these places. Halal Yishtabach, here it's 15. There's a secret to it. But it says, Tosfos points out, see, I circled the word, Emes. Lo koi ala shechina, ela koi ala davar hazeh. The word Emes is not talking about God himself. God, Hashem Elokeichem, is Emes. It's much more like that in the Gemara, But Tosfos wants to say that Elokoya Adavar Hazeh, you're right, because Hashem Elokeichem is Emes, but it's not Emes V'yatziv. Emes, finish. Shema is now finished. V'yatziv Nachon is a new thing. Don't say Emes V'yatziv, because Emes is going on God, and V'yatziv is a new thing, as he proves. V'chein Yisib Haram. Marami Rittenberg says the same thing. V'isa b'Yerushalmi, Haimar Ganisa de Leis Beit Tima Perush Ein La Shuma Kol Mash Meshabeach Mitkani La. Yerushalmi says that as the more you praise, the more you're disparaging. Yidama L'Kaman B'chad De Pasach V'Omar Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Nerav V'Hiyo Ma'arich Harbe V'Leim Rebbe Chanina Siyamti L'Shavchei Demarach Kichol Peh Lo Yuchal L'Saper Shivcho. You finish praising God, what mouth can you can give me 15 descriptions? Why not 15 million? Right? He's just trying to show that MS and V'yatsiv are talking about two different things. Because V'yatsiv and Nachon V'kim V'yashav and Man V'yuv V'chaviv and Nachmav and Neymar and Nerab D'yuv M'zikon G'bal B'tov Yafeh Hadavar Hazeh. This thing is all these. This uh-huh, thing that I'm uh-huh. supposed to praise you. But I'm not describing you with these words. It's not that you are Yatsiv, you are Nachon, you are Kayam, you are Yashar, you are Nechmad, you are Naim. No, because we wouldn't daven like that. Following? Okay, that's his proof that Emes is Hashem Okechem Emes. One quick thing. Finish. We finished with God. Now we're talking about a new topic. Okay, in any other case, such case. So, we finish with this. Just to click on there. Let's continue with the mission. Close your shachu ke'achad. Three people who ate together in a meal. We already learned that means that they decided to let's join together, not haphazardly. Einan reshoyin lechalik. They're not allowed to separate because then they won't be left within a mezumen. V'chein arba v'chein chamisha. Four shouldn't separate. Why? If one leaves, they still have a mezumen. So why isn't he allowed to leave?
Because he doesn't get
it. He's not getting a mezumen. He's losing his mezumen. Same with five. Right? Shisha nechlok in adasara. If you have six, you make two groups of three. I might think Rovam Hadras Melech, but if you want to have two different people mezumening, all right. You have two kohanim. Okay, until ten. But once you get to ten, sorry, you can't break up ten. That's why I told you when you started the wedding, and all the people are washing together, you have to have in mind that I'm not going to bench mezumen with ten. You can't have in mind I'll bench early, but then you have to bench with 10 at the table, because once you place yourself into an obligation to bench nevirch elokeinu shechalim shelo, you can't separate from 10. It says right here, once you're 10, you in the wedding you have a lot more than 10. You can't bench with less than a 10. All right, it's true. If you have 20, then you can break off into two 10s. Right? If you have 400 at the wedding, you can break up into as many tens as you want. You want to leave some nice Sheva Brachas at the end for the Chasna Kala, but the people who have to leave early have to bench in at least a group of 10. Unless when you wash, you say, I'm not joining with them. You can always do that. At the time of the washing, you can preclude the Chiyuv.
Didn't it just say that it's possibly preferable to break up at 20? So you have two groups that...
Yes, in fact, that seems to be the sheet of the Yerushalmi, not unlike the Bavli. The Yerushalmi makes a statement like that, but not like the Bavli. Vasarani nechlokim machiu esrim, as I just said. 10 shouldn't break up. In other words, if you have 13, don't bench with a mizuman of 3 and a mizuman of 10, because then the mizuman of 3 misses out on the Merech Elokeinu. Fight during the Gemara... Tani, everyone with me? So this is a little tangential to the Inyan. Of course, it's about the laws of benching, but it's not so much about the laws of mezumen. Tani, Hayayoshi v'ochel b'Shabbos v'shochach v'lo hizkir shel Shabbos. You're eating on Shabbos and you forgot to say Ritzei. What think you? Bench again?
No, I wouldn't think so.
You didn't say Ritzei. Right, let me give you a klal so you can always remember. The benching has all kinds of additions that you're supposed to say on special days. I'm not talking about the end. I'm talking about three additions. Ritzei for Shabbos, Yalav Yavah for Yontif and Rosh Chodesh,
and then the
Alan Yisim for Chanukah and Purim. Right? Here is the general principle. If the meal you are eating is a meal that you had to have bread, then the addition to that benching is ma'akev. Ma'akev means if you didn't say it, you have to bench again. So on Shabbos, do you have to have bread?
Yeah.
Yes. So you would have to bench again if you missed Ritzei on Shabbos, but not in Shalosh Shuddis. Because the halacha is that Shalosh Shuddis you can get by with cake. And cake doesn't need benching. So even if you did have bread at Shalosh Shuddis, and you forgot Ritzei at Shalosh Shuddis, you don't have to bench again, because this was a meal that you could have fulfilled without bread. Right, what about Yom Tov? You missed Yalav Yom Tov. Bench again, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even at night. Because if you didn't say Yalav Yavo at night of a Shmon Esrei, you don't have to repeat. Either because Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, or because we're not Mekadesh the Cholish at night. Right, but here, when it comes to Yalav Yavo, the posts can agree that on Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to bench. You don't have to daven again if you've got Yalav Yavo and davening.
We consider like when you do say that those little additions at the end. Is that considered like you're
yes,
making
yes,
up
yes,
for
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely. So that's you have to do it by the way. Some siddurim should all be printed with this. If you say oh, it's Shabbos and I forgot to say Ritzei. So there's a bracha you can say right there. Right. It's just a single line you can say that takes the place of Ritzei. A line for Yalav Yavo, a line for Ritzei, a line for both if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov.
No, I was saying like Harachaman, Huyan
Chuleinu, Yom Shabbos. Oh, no, that's not good. In fact, once you start the next bracha, Brachat Hashem HaKen HaMacholam, okay, Lavinu HaKen.
Go back.
Start over. There's only one way out. Is if you started Brachat Hashem HaKen HaMacholam, and you said, oh, I forgot. The thing you say, it's amazing. It's a bracha. It's not a rachamah, it's a bracha.
Never even heard of that.
Right?
Or is that,
find the bencher. Some of the good benchers have it right there because you were the benching and you forgot it. But you know what? Because usually when you're using a bencher, you're not going to forget, right? All right, but still, if you want to have it right there so you can add it. Yes.
You said cake. Was there a time point where one could only do Birkat HaMazon on cake?
One would have to eat so much cake to be at the bench, have to bench on cake, and you'd have to wash for it. You'd have to eat a whole cake.
No, I think back in the days, the way they baked the cake, they it may have been baked in such a way that you had to do Birkat HaMazon.
And that's bread. They wouldn't need a motzi. You may want to call it cake, but I've seen such like a babka like that. It's mamish like a bread, but it has some little chocolate in the middle. We can certainly talk about that. It'd be but that would just be a plain motzi. Okay, so that's the general principle, okay? So Ritzei, nighttime meal, day meal, return again. Shalosh Shuddis, no. Yalav Yavo, same thing.
For Rosh Chodesh.
Yom Tov, but not Rosh Chodesh. Never Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh didn't need a bread meal. Here is an interesting chap. The Ramah says in the laws of Chanukah that if you don't say Al Anisim in Chanukah, you don't have to bench again. No meal in Chanukah. Requires even the Shabbos meal of Chanukah, if you missed Al Anisim on that day, as long as you said Ritzei, right, you're okay.
Purim.
But in the laws of Purim, the Ramah doesn't say anything. He just says in the laws of Chanukah, if you didn't say Al Anisim on Chanukah and benching, you don't have to bench again. But in Purim, he doesn't say anything. So Rav Avad Yosef points out a number of tshuvas, a number of responses that say that by not saying anything in Purim, he means to tell us that if you didn't say Al Anisim on Purim, you do have to bench again. Why?
You need bread.
Because Purim has a din of Seuda. There's a big problem with that. Big problem. Earlier in Hilchos Purim, the Ramah says himself that while the Seuda of Purim is better to have with bread, like Shalosh Shuddis, right, you can fulfill it without bread. So that's your benchmark. The Ramah says so explicitly. Right? But furthermore, isn't there another place in the Shulchan Aruch besides the laws of Purim where the Ramah may address this issue?
Brachas.
Like the laws of Brachas, right? The laws of benching. And there he says explicitly, why he didn't mention it in Purim, I don't know. But he says explicitly, if you didn't say Al Anisim in Chanukah and Purim, you don't have to bench again. Because everybody knows you can fulfill the din of Seuda of Purim without bread.
Without bread.
It's better to have bread, just like it's better to have Shalosh Shuddis with bread. But if you didn't, you fulfilled Shalosh Shuvos. So therefore, the addition to the benching for that thing is not Le'ikuvah, is not going to be a game breaker. Okay, let's read all this in the Gemara. So it says, Tani, Hayoshev Ocha b'Shabbos v'Shochach v'lo izkir shel Shabbos. He's eating a meal on Shabbos and he forgot to say Ritzei. Rav Amar Choser u'Shmuel Amar Eino Choser. Rav says you have to bench again. Shmuel says you don't have to bench again. Of course, the halacha is like Rav. Whenever Rav and Shmuel argue, the halacha is always like Rav in any issue that's not connected to monetary detail, and the halacha is like Shmuel on anything that has to do with monetary. It's not a monetary issue.
Right? Which one was the equivalent of the Nasi? The two of those. Which one had the more?
Rav was older. At this time, the Nasi was neither. I think each one had
the Exilarch. Exilarch was the word. I
also
was
neither.
For.
Each one headed a yeshiva in a different place.
Okay.
Shmuel was in Neher Dea, and Rav was in Sura.
Why is there a difference to monetary and non-monetary issues?
We see in the Talmud that Rav asked questions of Shmuel on monetary issues as if though he submits to him. And Rav was quite a bit older than Shmuel. Rav has a din of a Tana. Rav is allowed to argue. He's only a Mor who's allowed to argue with Tanoim. Mm-hmm. Rav and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi's son. Okay, so we passkin like Rav in this, that if, like I said, because you have to have bread. Shimon bar Ba, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Sofek hizkir shel Rosh Chodesh, sofek lo hizkir. In machzirin so. If you're not sure if you mentioned Rosh Chodesh, meaning Yal V'Yavo, right? Now, what do you think here? What are we talking about? Are we talking about Shimon Ezra or are we talking about benching? So on the first glance, you want to say we're talking about benching, because this is the seventh parak at Brachos, which are the laws of benching. But shouldn't you have been a little more specific? All right, but it is what it is. Let's read it again. Sofek hizkir shel Rosh Chodesh, sofek lo hizkir, ein machzirin so. If he's not sure if he mentioned Rosh Chodesh or not, so my impression is that this must be talking about Shimon Esri. Why do you think? The Beis Yosef says this. Why would you say this is not? It would be a fundamentally different parish than the Bavli if this was talking about benching. Because it says, if you're not sure if he said Yalav Yavo in benching, you don't have to bench again. What did we just get finished saying? Because it says, Sofik Hizkir Shal Rosh Chodesh. You know, yeah. What did we just get finished saying?
You do have to bench.
Rosh Chodesh?
Rosh Chodesh, you don't have
Rosh Chodesh is also good to have a Suda, but you certainly don't need to eat bread at that Suda. You don't even need to eat bread at the Suda Purim.
Right, so you don't have to repeat.
Of course, so if you're talking about benching, even if you know you didn't say Yal V'Yavo and benching on Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat. So let me talk, I'm not sure if you said it or not. Must be talking about Shimon Esrei. You agree? Beis Yosef says that explicitly.
You know, in here in the text, it's it says Birkat Hamazon.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the way they're understanding it.
And maybe because that's the Havamina now. Sofik hizkir shel Rosh Chodesh, sofik lo hizkir ein machzir neso. Ashkach tani upalig. We found a Tana who disagrees with this. Okay, that's why, because I'm going to see the final halach. Kol yom sheish bo korban musaf kigon Rosh Chodesh v'chol oshel moed, tzorach lahazkir me'ein ha'ma'ora. Im lo hizkir machzir neso. V'chol shein bo korban musaf kigon chanukah u'purim, tzorach lahazkir me'ein ha'ma'ora, im lo hizkir ein machzir neso. On any day where we daven musaf, whatever is added to the benching because of that day, you have to chozer. By the way, we don't paskin like this svara. We paskin like this svara I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. A meal that needs bread, that's what you have to be chozer on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in as far as this goes, what are the days where we add something to the Shmona Esrei, I'm sorry, to the benching that doesn't have a carbon musaf? That would be the Chanukah and Purim.
Mm-hmm.
What are the days that have, in addition to the davening, to the benching, that has korban musaf, that would be Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chanan bar Abba v'chavraya, this rabbi and his friends, haviyasfin achlin v'shabata min da achlin u'borchin kam azalei chazal gaban ashkechanin brachinan Amar v'lokvar berachnu. So what happened here is that there was Shabbos meal, right? They finished benching, and they benched again. They explained why they said it again, because they forgot to include Ritzeh the first time. Okay. So, right, lokvar berachnu, didn't you bench already? I mean, lo mevorchinu v'chozin mevorchinu. We have to bench again because we forgot something. Right? See what that is. It's on the base. Dashkechan matkaro deshabta, because we remembered that we didn't say aritzei. As the Haredim, shochachnu lahazkir shal Shabbos. Lo amar kein rabba ba b'shem rab chuna rab yirmiya, matu ba b'shem rav, shochach v'lo hizkir shal Shabbos, omer asher nosan menuch olam o Yisrael. That's what we'll find it in the art scrolls. Remember I told you what you can add? It's with Shem Malchus. That's not supposed to be the second one. Not the top one, the second one. Yeah. That one, yeah. Great, thanks. Let's see if it's in here. Thanks. So what a shame.
Seven years.
One omitted ritzei. Okay, so it says you can make up for it by adding a blessing. So put the blessing in here, for goodness sakes.
That's all it says.
Yes.
Is it in the halacha?
Yeah, but you
here it is. Here it is. I'm sorry. It's on the separate page. It's all on the separate page. Brachos lemisha shochach. If one forgot Ritzei on Shabbos, you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, you forgot Yalav Yavo and Ritzei on Rosh Chodesh, you forgot Yalav Yavo on the Yontif, you forgot Ritzei and Yalav Yavo on the Yontif, you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Hashanah, you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos. Okay. It sounds like this: Brachot Hashem Akein L'Cholam, Hashem Nesan Shabbosos L'Mdechol, Amo Yisrael B'Ahava, La'Osu L'Bris, Brachot Hashem Akadesh Shabbos. You can know all the benching by heart, but this one, because you don't hardly ever say this, Baruch Hashem, you remember.
Say it, right.
Yeah. Okay. So he said, why did you have to bench again? Couldn't you say Hashem Nesam Menuchalam O Yisrael? Which is this bracha, right? Kein b'shehisi adato, v'chein b'shelo isi adato. Oh yeah, I know. You can still say it if you didn't start the next bracha. But once you started the next bracha, sorry Charlie, you're finished. Gotta start all over again. It's interesting. I mean, this is a kasha, and you know, I don't have a good answer to this. But you know, after Shmona Esrei, you say Baruch Hashem, Avrecha Zma Yisrael, Vashalom. Right. So there's a big paragraph, L'Kain Etzor, that we say at the end there. Remember, L'Kain Etzor Shnimi Rav, V'Sfasavim Deber Mimav, V'Kalin Nivshisidom, V'Shikia Folo Kol Tia. Right. So last year, if you recall, around the springtime, we learned a whole series of statements that the certain rabbis made at the end of the davening. In the Talmud Bavli, it's in the second parak. In the Yerushalmi, it's in the fifth parak. Well, I'm not sure what were the difference, but it mentioned about 20 different prayers that certain rabbis said at the end of their davening. One is Yiratzom Fanacha, Shemakenu Kevsenu, Shetachadei Sholenu. And this is today, every day he'd say this. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, the Tovah, Vulivracha, Visitzananu, Chaim Aruchim, Chaim Shal Shalom, Chaim Shal Bracha, Chaim Shal Parnosa, Chaim Shal Chilat Tzamos, Chaim Sheish Bani Yeres Shemayim, Yeres Chet, Chaim Shein Bo Yeres.
Which we say in Rav.
Ben Shemesh Chodesh, this guy said it every day. There's another one that we say, Ani Afar Bemis Bechayai, Kabachom Bemis Sosi, what we say on Yom Kippur, right before we clap. So there was all kinds of prayers that we put in different times of the year. Right, one of those prayers is Elokein Etzor Shnimira. And usually in the Siddurim it'll tell you, you know, Tefila Ravina, Amar Baravina, I think. So if you're in the middle of that, do you think you finished your Shmona Esrei or not?
We say it really.
Yeah, if you're in the middle of that, I think.
That's not so simple.
So we paskin. I'll give you a psak halacha that shows
no
that we are
at the end of it. So yes, you did finish.
All right, but you, if you didn't take any steps back, so that's the thing.
What?
If you're in the lokai netzor,
right,
and they're up to kedusha or modim, you can say those things. You can't do that if you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei. So that's proof that lokai netzor is really post Shmon Esrei.
We can go back for certain things.
But if you're in the middle of a lokai netzor and you realize that you didn't say Yalav Yavo, you can go back to it.
Say. You can. I don't know.
So it's like a contradictory psakalocha. So obviously we have to say, of course it's post Shmon Esrei, because Avrechas Moshe Rabba Shalom is the end of Shmon Esrei. But since we have become so ingrained into saying this one particular prayer, everybody says it.
It's almost as if
it became part of Shmon. So here's my question I told you I don't have a good answer for. Benching is similar. Benching is over, Bracha Toshem, B'nei Bracha Mavi Shalayim, and that's why we all say Amen to our own Bracha, so we know, finished.
Right.
In fact, the Brachas of the Poalim don't say it, the workers don't say that fourth Bracha. The fourth Bracha was a Takana because of, we learned it a few months ago about Haruge Beitar, they were able to bury the dead from the Bar Kochas revolt,
right.
So they instituted another Bracha in the Shmon Esrei for thanks for that. But that's considered totally post-benching.
Right.
Even though it's considered.
But when can one put the cup of wine down? Does one
lo lomai chasreinu?
So, but that's contradictory,
right? As I told you, I have a real problem with this because in the middle of a kind of story, you can go back to Yalav Yavo. So, in the middle of this bracha, you should also be able to go back to Yalav Yavo and benching,
right?
Why shouldn't it be considered part of you? But I'm still in benching.
Yeah.
The Truvas discuss it, but they just say that the kind of Sor is more part of Shmon Esrei than the fourth bracha is part of benching.
Right, but that's just for Yalav Yavo. Like, you can't go back for Hanach HaKadosh in all kind of Sor, or for other things. You have to start over after
Shmon Esrei. Oh, yeah, sure.
Everything
at
different points.
Once you start a Tachonain, you have to start.
Right, so.
Okay, let's finish to the Mishnah. Tani, Asar b'nei Adam shiyu mahalchim v'derech, hafapi shekulam ochlim mikikar echad, kol echad v'chod mevarech la'atzma. You can't have a kviyus to bench mizumen with 10 people walking around, even if they took bites from the same challah.
Because they're walking around?
Yeah. Once yashvu v'ochlu, hafapi shekul echad v'chod ochlim mikikar atzma. Once they sit down, that's the kviyus, even though each one is eating from their own roll, echad mevarech la'yidei kulam. One can bench mizumen for all. Rabbi Yirmi zamin l'chave b'pundaka. Rabbi Yirmi joined people together in the pundak. Now, you see here, if everybody sits together, what I once did in Montreal. I went to a wedding there, and we went to a pizza store. I was there for a little while in the afternoon. And who walks into the pizza store? Hasnakala. For lunch. They spent the week there together in Montreal. Maybe we stayed for another day or two. And there's a Hasnakala in the pizza store. Amazingly, the pizza store, it was a kosher pizza store. Everyone goes there. There was the highest hashgacha in Montreal. They didn't have any benches.
Do you know what it was called?
No, you know Montreal?
I'm from Montreal.
Oh, yeah. I know what it's called. There must be a few pizza stores. I don't know.
They assumed that everybody knows it doesn't need it.
I don't know. But I had to write, but we got Shabbat brachas.
Really?
I called upon 10 people. I said, "Listen, Yuri, I want you to join. I want to be Otzi L'Choladeus." He said, "Have a kazayas while you're eating your pizza, and wash your falafel." It was a nice big room. We had shevrachas in the pizza store.
That's beautiful.
And I wrote it. I wrote the shevrachas on napkins.
So you said a motzi.
Yeah, you all have to eat motzi. Yeah, for shevrachas you need 7 to make motzi,
uh-huh.
And 3 can eat anything.
Uh-huh.
So. And I wrote the shevrachas on different napkins, and we gave a napkin to everyone to say them, and it was nice.